Presley.
It's time for another episode of The Cultural Hall. It's episode 72. We're visiting with C. Jane Kendrick in the second and third block. She's a blogger, so stick around for that. I have been told that the term mommy blogger in some forms could be a negative connotation, so I will just say she is a phenomenal blogger who happens to be a mom, and leave it at that. But in the ranks here with us, it's me, Richie T, and then and Lindsay, and not just Lindsay, you got a title after the... after your name now.
Besides Mrs., yes. Nursery chorister.
New calling.
New calling. What's up?
I didn't know they had music in nursery.
Yes, they have music in nursery. And typically the primary chorister does it, like, you know, after she does primary, she'll go and do the nursery and then go back and do senior primary or whatever, junior and senior, which is what I've done in the past. However, in my ward, they have too many people. Yeah, they have a ton. They have three nurseries.
Oh my gosh!
And two choristers in the primary, but it's just too much for them to run and do all of that while handling the primary kids too. The funny part about it, though, is I haven't technically been called.
Right. How have you kind of been called?
Well, here's what happened. I've been out of town two Sundays in a row for the holidays.
Sure.
And
sure you have.
Yep. Out of town is what I tell the bishop.
Right? Listen, I was gone.
Listen, I was out of town.
We stayed at a hotel.
Yeah.
Okay, it was our house. but he made me feel like it was a hotel because he brought me breakfast in bed and called it room service.
Out of town. But so the last 2 weeks, the executive secretary has been texting me and saying, hey, can you come in?
Inappropriate.
Well, you know, texting me saying, can you come in and meet with the bishopric before church? I said, I'm sorry, I've been out of town. Well, while I'm on vacation, I get a call from the primary president and I'm like, oh, hey, how are you? And she's like, oh, I just wanted to say congratulations on your new calling. And I was like, oh, well, I haven't really been told what it is yet because I haven't been there. And so she was like, oh, my gosh, I'm so sorry. She like thought she made this huge mistake. And she's like, OK, well, they might not call you, but I'm assuming they're going to. And I was like, well, just tell me because I'm really curious. And like, I really wanted to know.
Right.
And so I figured it was.
It's not like you're going to say no.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't. And so I figured it was in the primary since the primary president was calling me. So I'm like, just tell me what it is. Yeah, totally. I'm like, I promise I'll act surprised when they tell me.
Cross my heart.
I promise.
I am so surprised at this calling.
Oh my gosh. Nursery chorister? Yeah. So yeah, I have to act surprised now when I go into the bishopric. But yeah, the primary president was like, oh yeah, well, I think they're going to call you to be the nursery chorister. And I was like, oh, okay. So I've never had a situation where the nursery chorister has been separate from the primary chorister. So this
is it different songs?
No, same songs. You know, you do
well,
the simple
ones.
Well, because
nursery kids are dumber.
True, they're
than
younger.
Primary kids.
They're younger.
Oh,
yes.
Younger.
So you
yeah,
do,
but dumber,
you know,
I mean,
you do your Jesus Wants Me for a Sunbeam. Beam. You do your popcorn popping. Uh-huh. You do your
the little kids
once,
can do that.
Oh yeah.
How old are nursery kids?
They're like 18 months, I think, is when you go in.
Until
five.
Oh, okay. So
four
the older.
Five,
okay.
Yeah, and there's older nurseries and younger nurseries.
Okay.
So
are you in the older nursery?
Well, I do all three of them.
Oh, you do all
I
of them?
I will. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And so it just takes that second block, the Sunday school hour. You just do the
and
three
turns
nurseries.
It
No, it makes it brilliant so I don't have to go to Sunday school.
Yeah,
I get
but next
to
year's
nursery.
The Doctrine and Covenants.
I know, and I kind of did have a mini resolution to like actually pay attention and read along and do
now
all
you'll
that.
Have to do it for real.
I know, and I'll have to ask my husband like what they talked about.
What are we learning?
I know, what's going on?
I need to keep
on?
Up for when the ladies chat.
Yeah, I really do.
I really
do
love
that.
In Section 7 where it says.
Yeah, so yeah, nursery chorister should be pretty fun.
You nervous?
No, not nervous, because at the end of the day, if you screw up, they don't have any idea. They're
except that
2 years old.
You know, impressionable young children who will be the future of the church.
Well,
I'm
not going to teach them a rap song. Like, what do you...
What, rap songs aren't okay?
How am I going to mess it up?
This coming from the woman who did the Grinch, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, Mean One Mr. Grinch commercial for Christmas and destroyed it.
So secular.
Destroyed Christmas by being so secular, taking
secular.
Christ right out of Christmas. Right
I
out.
Totally did. Totally did.
If you don't know what we're talking about, go back and listen to some past episodes, November and December. You'll love it.
You'll find it. Yeah, so I think it'll be good. It'll be a fun calling.
Will you let me know if you actually get called into that?
Yes. Cool. If it changes, I'll let you know. But that's perfect. The plan until they tell me otherwise.
Nice. Okay, so coming back, second and third block, at C. Jane Kendrick. You can check her out at cjanekendrick.com. That's the second and third block.
Sidewinder Media was named as one of Utah's top photographers by In This Week magazine and is a winner of several awards for fine art, portrait, and event photography. Sidewinder Media has been professionally photographing everything from wildlife to headshots for over 10 years. Sidewinder Media has the experience and the knowledge to capture your special occasion or portrait the way you want it. They also film and edit music or product videos and do simple ads for Facebook or websites. Email them at sidewindermedia@gmail.com or call Rusty at 801-941-5576 to book your shoot today.
It's time for the second block of the Cultural Hall, and I love this. One of my favorite things about the Cultural Hall is the intense amount of planning and foresight that goes into what we do here. So let me, before I introduce our guest, who is sitting here with us at the Terramio Ristorante across from the Cinemark Theaters in Orem, Utah.
That has delicious pizza.
Yeah, I'm about to try the gelato here.
Pumpkin-flavored gelato? So good.
I don't know that they have any more. I was looking at the mint chocolate.
I don't think you can go wrong.
Yeah. I saw pumpkin. I love pumpkin. Anything. I love this season. This is why I love the fall. Pumpkin-flavored treats.
I'm going to make homemade pumpkin ice cream, but we digress. Yeah. The foresight that goes into this... this little thing that we do here is I think of people who I go, that would be interesting. And then I assume that the whole world knows what the Cultural Hall is. And then I say, hey, you should come and interview with us. And then luckily, most people have always said, yeah, you bet, because the network is now at least close enough that someone at least knows someone who goes, hey, you're okay. But inevitably, our guests come to us and go, what are we doing here? What is it exactly that we do? And such is the case with CJ and Kendrick, who is joining us today.
Yes, what am I doing here?
Well, we're going to talk to you all about what you do.
Who am I?
Okay.
Why am I here? What is my purpose?
If you guys wait long enough, I'm sure that here in this city of Orem, there will be two gentlemen that will walk by and be able to answer all of those questions for you.
Side note, I was at the university,
the Lord's?
Which I attend.
Oh, so not the Lord's University.
Okay, you can be quiet now.
The almost Lord's University.
The Lord's University.
I should have studied harder in high school.
No. I actually think that UVU is kind of like the embodiment of, I don't want to go to BYU. Yeah. Where else can I go?
I think that's the University of Utah, though, isn't it more?
No.
It's more like purgatory, where you're like, because I went to U of U, too. You're not quite at the Lord's University, and you're not Satan's University. You're just kind of in this middle ground.
I'm in the spirit prison.
Okay. Like, you can see how great it could have been, but you're stuck right off of I-15.
Yes. No,
right?
How fun it could have been.
I actually love the UVU.
I do, too.
But anyway, we were walking down the hall, and two missionaries were walking down the hall of the UVU, and it was a little bit jarring, and I don't know why. I'm like, what are you doing here?
This is higher education, pal.
I'm like, there are girls here. Girls with hormones. You shouldn't be here, elders.
Girls.
Anxious white virginal girls.
Virginal?
Virginal. I said it.
Yeah,
because I know how many people hate that word. Virgin.
Yeah. Oh.
Do you guys edit this?
No, we don't edit it at all.
Are you serious?
No.
Oh my
Why
gosh.
Would we?
Okay, great.
See, Jane.
All right,
let it roll. Tell us about yourself. You're a blogger. Is that the best way to introduce you?
Yeah, writer, blogger.
Okay. Is blogger demeaning?
Well, no, I don't think it is. I just think that sometimes I feel like I'm not quite at home with the bloggers, and I feel like I'm not quite at home with the writers.
Okay, why?
So, I think that I think there's an art to writing that I think a lot
that you don't quite have yet, and then there's the art of blogging, and you're not so quite.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
Well, I just think that writers go through processes, and they love drafting, and they love thinking and putting it out there, and that's part of the art that I appreciate, but I don't ever actually do myself. On the other hand, I think bloggers are networkers. They love to meet each other. They love to be social. And that part of blogging has never really fit well with me because I'm an introvert, really. It's hard for me to get out and network.
So we really are honored the fact that you decided to accept our invitation via Twitter. Yeah? Twitter invitation.
Yeah,
was it Twitter? I don't do the Twitter.
I really love Twitter. So
I love the Twitter.
Yeah.
It's at the Cultural Hall for us and at CJ and Kendrick for you,
yes,
correct?
Thank you.
I do have a Twitter account. I just don't use it. I guess I should specify that.
So great. So much better than Facebook.
Really?
Yeah.
Teach me the ways of Twitter because I just,
I feel like Twitter is for your smart friends and Facebook is for your
dumb
friends.
Dumb friends?
Random?
You can say dumb. Why not say dumb? If Twitter is for your smart friends, what you're saying is it's for your people who basically know how to turn on a computer don't drool all over themselves in the process.
So you blog, but you say writer. So have you written things like books and articles and published works?
I'm a personal essayist, so yeah, I've been published.
What does that mean?
Yeah, what is that?
I write about myself.
But where would one publish a personal essay?
In anthologies.
What now?
Newspapers.
You're going to have to really dumb it down. Think Facebook friend across
you,
the table.
Yeah, you're not on Twitter. You. So an anthology is where you put together different writers' perspectives and
Richie is eking that towards your face because he wants you to speak into the microphone.
Okay.
Love it.
I talk really loud, so I'm
you're fine. I can adjust it here, so don't worry about
it. No one's louder than me, so it's fine.
So anyway, that's true. And then I've been published in newspapers. I have an article, a column with the Deseret News.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. What, are you allowed to write about whatever you
want? Whatever I want, but I get edited quite a bit.
Yeah. What do you normally find yourself writing about?
Politics, religion.
Are you a President Romney fan?
I've been an Obama fan this whole time.
An Obama
time.
Mama, as
I
they
can't
say.
I don't even know how what I arrived there.
What is it that you don't know what makes you, what drives you towards
He's
President
so
Obama?
He's so dreamy.
I normally don't talk politics, but I'm curious.
Sorry.
Since you broached it.
No, this is great. I think that I am a Mormon who would have voted for Mitt because he was a Mormon.
Uh-huh.
And so this election, I had to say, okay, look, Courtney, you have to get a little, CJ, you have to get a little bit smarter here and figure out what you really believe. And so this election has been all about me really digging into what I believe and what I believe about the government and the role that it has. And I think that's led me to a place where I've realized that maybe I'm a little bit more liberal than I thought I was. Mm-hmm. And so based on that, I think, well, I feel more comfortable voting as a Democrat right now than a Republican.
Does that scare you?
Well, I was raised in a very conservative Republican home.
In Utah County here?
In Utah County.
Provo?
In Provo.
I didn't know there were conservative homes in Utah County.
No, it's true. No, it's true.
But I feel like, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I probably am, but this whole idea that, like, Mormons shouldn't be or can't be Democrats. And, you know, it's like, but why is that? And like, oh, well, because, and the big point that people always bring up, it's like, because notoriously Democrats are for abortion and Republicans are notoriously
and gay marriage.
Yeah. And Republicans aren't. It's like, but you can't say that anymore because there are so many Democrats that aren't.
Yeah.
You know, and there are so many conservative Democrats that I don't feel like it's fair to just to write off the entire Democratic Party based off of an old dogma. But I mean,
I also feel like it's really important for us as Mormons, and especially in my community, to have balance.
Mm-hmm. Right.
There just isn't a lot of balance. I mean, we never elect Democrats. We just don't.
One of my favorite things is on Main Street. What's the Main Street in Provo that goes north south?
Center Street.
Center Street.
Yeah.
In Center Street where the Utah County Democrats office is.
Oh,
have you ever seen that before?
No, I haven't seen it.
It's hilarious and just... It's sort of precious to me. It's the smallest little office building, and it's right on Center Street.
Looks sort of run down, a little disheveled.
They've got one sign that you can tell used to be some other politician street sign that they've painted over, and then painted a sign that says.
It's almost like a speakeasy. You feel like you're gonna have to. You're like, I can't be seen.
Password.
There's one little rotary phone on the inside, and then a little desk and
a little lamp.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Bless their sweetheart. So how long have you been blogging for?
So I started my blog in 2005.
How come?
I started it because I wanted to write. I had quit my job and I wanted to be a full-time writer.
What were you doing?
I was working at an elementary school.
Teaching?
In a gifted and talented program.
Cool.
Yeah. And it was great. I really loved it, but I really felt this call to be a writer.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband was a full-time actor, and so it wasn't a stretch for us to say,
who is he? Has he done stuff? Did we know him?
His name is Christopher Kendrick. I mean, Tom Hanks. His name is Tom Hanks.
Look him up. IMDb him.
Brother Hanks.
Brother Hanks. No, Chris, so my husband, he does a lot of church stuff.
Okay.
And commercials.
We're going to look him up right now.
I am looking him up right now.
But you can keep talking. So you decided to say you wanted to become a full-time writer.
So I was just like, let's just live our dreams here.
Yeah.
So we decided to do it. And so
because he wasn't making any money.
Right. Right. We were poor.
Right.
So we might as well be, really poor.
And happy.
And happy.
Yeah.
So we, excuse me. So we decided to do that. He was acting, I was writing, and then we also were trying to have a baby, and we couldn't get pregnant. So I decided to concentrate my blog on writing about infertility.
Okay. Is that him right there?
That's my man.
There it is.
Turn it.
I can't turn it too much. I'm gonna blow to come out. It's a good looking guy. Beard? Does he always have the beard?
Yes, he has a beard. Yeah, and he's 6'5". He's gigantic.
And nice. you're huge. Like,
I'm 5'3".
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
And that difference wasn't like off putting because I've dated people that were over a foot taller than me. And it was, I didn't like it.
No, yes. When we first started dating, I'd hug him and my face would come up to his navel, you know? Like, it was really, really awkward. But
she's like,
yeah, I'd give him a Zerber.
He's like, this is great. This is the best date ever. I got a Zerber on my belly.
How'd you meet your husband? I always love asking because I'm the girl and girls want to know. Richie, yes, I'm sorry, but you. Girls do. They want to know.
I don't disagree. Don't tell me what I don't want. I wanted to know.
Judging with your eyes.
I would love to know where you guys.
Okay,
met each
well,
other.
We my brother.
Don't say BYU.
Topher is also an actor. No, we were all older, and we met at a. He was friends with my brother and.
Cast party? Was it a cast party?
No, it was a New Year's Eve party, and I had just been divorced, and so
what happened there? Can we talk about it?
Well, that's kind of what I've been writing about on my blog this year. Uh-huh.
So go read the blog.
Hey, listen,
led to this. Not everyone
who
you don't read my blog.
I am trying to have a thorough conversation here, and it's always leading it the way. Let me have the conversation I'm trying to have here.
I think there are a lot of young Mormons who have been divorced.
I think so too. So yeah. I want you to be able to speak about it to those people.
I got married feeling a lot of pressure. I had just gotten home from a mission, and
where'd you serve?
I went to Canada, to Montreal.
Cool.
And I felt like, geez, like if I didn't get married, I was going to be a loser. I really, really honestly felt that way. Mm-hmm. And I kind of feel like other people know what I'm talking about when
Absolutely.
I say that. And I had dated this guy for years and...
Before he left.
Things were really rocky mm-hmm. the whole time. But
like
we
you
got
just
married.
Didn't agree or what? How?
I wasn't in a position in my relationship to stand up for myself.
Okay.
It was just not a good place. Mm-hmm. And so...
So, of course, you get married.
We get married and it just gets worse.
How long did you guys date for?
So, well,
when you got back?
6 months.
Okay. So,
and it was really bad that whole 6 months.
Mm-hmm. And you thought, what? You know what'll fix this?
You know what I said? I said, I think that's the problem with really bad relationships. You really start to believe that if you don't marry this guy, that you'll never get married. Like you start to believe that he really has to be the only one for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so yeah. I married him, mm-hmm. And then it was just bad. But it only lasted 9 months, and I think that's what's so great, is that after 9 months, I finally went to my parents and said, hey, is this normal? Mm-hmm. Like, all these things are happening in my relationship. Is this what a normal marriage looks like? And they said, no, and...
And they helped you out?
You need to get out.
Was that hard, though? Because culture would teach you otherwise. Culture would say, boy, you pull up the old bootstraps and you do this thing.
That's the beautiful thing about the bishop that I had at the time. He was trying really hard to work with us. And then I remember one time he asked my ex-husband to leave the room. He was my husband at the time, of course. And he looked at me and said, I didn't realize how bad it was. And I think it would be in your best interest to leave and get help.
Which is contrary from what you hear, I think, most people's stories.
Yeah, I know. I think that bishops are always trying to keep those marriages together. I think that we didn't have children. There wasn't a lot of time invested.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it was an easy call to make. Like, this is never going to get better. You might as well leave now while you can.
So you make the decision and then you get divorced. I mean, it's not that quick, obviously, but then what's that like? You get back out and it's like, she's got the mark.
I remember the minute I moved back in with my parents and I went upstairs and I sat on the bed and I said to myself, if you never get married again, it's okay. You're going to be okay.
And how old are you at this point?
I was 23.
So still so young.
No, really still young.
Nope, that was her only chance, Britt.
No.
Hey,
I was like,
you don't need to tell me this. Yeah.
How old are you?
I will be 30 in March.
That's great.
So
when I met my husband, he was 29, and we got married when he was 30 and I was 25, and I thought it was perfect.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you trying to make me feel better because I'm married?
Yes, she is. She is.
Can you see the
there is genuine empathy going from her to you, but it really is just
Can
fine.
Can you see the hurt and pain in my eyes, the hopelessness that I have sunk into?
Desperation, I like to call it.
But other women, do they feel this way? Do other women outside of this bubble?
I don't think so. I think they will at a different age. I think when they maybe hit their mid to late 30s, they'll start to feel that way. I was having a conversation about this with a friend of mine last night. It's like, I wish I didn't live in the paradigm that I live in, because I'm not old at all, but yet I feel so old. Yeah. And part of the problem too is that it's like, sorry if it's a tangent for a moment.
That's great.
But you get this idea of even like what a bride should look like.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And in my mind, because girls here get married so young, they are just these beautiful, flawless, youthful,
virginal.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, truly.
Good use of the word virginal.
Yes. Brides.
Yeah.
And you know, this last year, this is the first year that I've started to notice the signs of subtle aging. You know, like the little crow's feet start to appear and whatnot.
No, you probably, there's not going on perspective.
But you start to notice.
Yeah.
And I think to myself, I'm going to have wrinkles in my wedding photos. And if I ever get married, I don't know why, but that kills me. Like, it kills me that I'm not going to be that young, beautiful, flawless bride. That I'm going to be an aged bride.
Listen, bink, bink. You look perfect to me.
Yeah. Stop. Yeah. Stop.
And anybody will be lucky to have you at whatever age that happens.
Thanks,
for
Grandma.
You.
Yeah.
Or never happens.
I wish my grandma would have said that to me.
Actually, no, that's not true. My grandparents are telling me that I'm going to be an attending angel if I don't get married.
Right,
administering angel, attending angel? Which one?
You know what? That's the thing is that my second time around when we got married, we eloped to Vegas because I was like, I'm not doing this whole
thing
anymore.
Eloped to the temple in Vegas?
No, we just eloped to the county courthouse.
Good work.
Yeah, and said, we're not.
How about that, though? Then how long did you know your second husband before you guys got married?
Oh, a year. We dated a year.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you said, hey, okay.
This is crazy.
County courthouse in Las Vegas.
I just met you. Marry me in Vegas,
maybe. Just one morning, we just decided, let's just do this. There's no point in
putting
it
off.
We know that we want to get married.
His second marriage?
No, it was his first.
That's interesting.
I know. And he was a virgin.
There you go. Yeah, that's fine. He knows. I'm assuming he knows he was.
He does know. I'm kind of proud of him. He was a 30-year-old virgin. Does that happen? I don't know. He's so
yes,
great.
Yes, it does. And I wrote an entire blog about it.
Yeah. Well, I know, but he's a man. Does that make any difference?
Yes.
That does make sense.
I think so.
I think so, too.
But that's romantic in a way. But also, was his family mad? I can see how your family would be like, that's okay. We kind of already did the big wedding thing. But his family would be like, but this is his first go-round.
No, they were great because he came from two generations of people who eloped. His grandparents eloped. His parents eloped.
So there was a rich heritage of elopage.
Yes.
Boy, one day you're going to run away with that woman you love.
I didn't think
and you're
about
not going to tell anyone about it.
I should probably prepare myself.
Yeah, lay it down because you know that's happening. Right. Oh, we just run away and get married. They'll come back from recess one day. Guess what, Mom? I got married.
That's karma.
Yeah, but it was that whole idea of what a bride and a groom should look like that just drove me to say, I'm not doing any of this. Like,
you just bucked
the point
the system.
Is to get married, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Not to throw a party or not to look beautiful. The point is just to get married.
I know.
I disagree. I loved having the party.
You did.
Yeah,
you
I
can
insisted
have a party
on
no matter what, though.
No, but I insisted on
but
the party.
But Richie's an
the
attention
party.
Whore.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That See, I'm an introvert. Nobody believes that about me, but I really am. And so eloping was like the safest sort of marriage wedding I could think of.
But through your writing at CJ and Kendrick, you're not any sort of introvert, really. I mean, you're relaying very personal things like that your husband's a virgin, etc.
I didn't hear that.
That was my... He was saying my blog.
Oh.
No.
Oh.
Oh, no?
Okay. No.
Oh,
I said that your husband is a virgin.
Oh,
yeah.
I heard virgin.
He was. He's not anymore.
No, I would hope not. No, but the fact that you divulge a lot of this personal information, that's not
typical of
an introvert.
I feel like I'm a public-private person.
Okay.
And I feel like I'm... a private public person.
Are you a Gemini?
No, I'm a Pisces.
Okay.
So for someone who doesn't, I'm a Pisces too.
All right.
And it's funny that we both have like kind of public private blogs, which I want to pick your brain about later. But for people who have never read your blog, never heard of your blog, let's like, yeah. Can you give us
what?
Just like
there are
like,
people out there like that?
I know the audacity.
There's one guy,
Stephen Jones.
Can you give us just like a quick overview of what I mean? Are you just writing about your life?
Yeah.
And people are
reading it.
Reading that.
Yeah.
So what makes your life so interesting?
I mean, that's something that I really don't understand myself. I think that I'm trying to be a good writer. I think a good writer can tell any story and make
sure.
It riveting.
Your voice is very entertaining when you write.
I try to be entertaining. What I try to do is I try to convey truth, and I think people can appreciate that. That said, I think also people can also get angry about that or frustrated about that, and I get that too, you know. But I want my story to be told as honestly and as true to my own heart.
How did you arrive at blogging being the thing? Because like you say, it's my life. Why are people, you know, clicking on to read about me? I mean, what was it about blogging that made you go, okay.
I'm going to try this blogging thing?
The immediacy of it, that you can say, I have feelings right now and they're very passionate. And like in the beginning when I was talking about infertility and I was so sad, it was really great to be able to put it out there right there and press publish and say, this is how I felt right now. I've been trying to write a book this past year. I have a book contract. And it's really hard for me because I think I'm writing this right now, and in a year from now when this thing gets published, exactly. I'm probably not going to feel the same way.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Or it's like you'll write something. That's what's so like cathartic about it, you know? But also it's this double-edged sword, and I've noticed this too. Like my blog is not nearly as well followed as yours, but you know, I'll have people that will read it and they'll attack me. And it's like, that's how I felt in that moment.
Yeah.
But I may not even feel that way 10 minutes
I
from
can
now.
Move out of this.
Yeah. It's like,
this is what we do as humans.
Yeah.
Right?
And writing is what helped me to move past it. So, but the thing is, that's a snapshot and now it's frozen in time and now it's on the internet. And so you start getting people saying you're a man hater. I mean, just as an example, as a completely, you know, random
of course
example.
Yeah,
so
it's not anything that would apply to something that you might,
you know, other than, you know, rather than maybe that was just how you were feeling in that moment, but then you got over it.
Yeah, the blog post was titled, I Hate Men. I mean, forget people's assumption that you...
No, I do think that those are important to publish because we are part of it. We are, as humans, we are like an amass of stories, right? I mean, all these stories make up who we are, and so I think they're important. They're an important part of our history.
Hmm. So what's the
okay
book going to be about, then?
Out there. That's just
scratch
the whole
head.
It's good.
Well, I have this contract, see, and I'm thinking about
puppies.
I think I'm at the point where I'm like, I'm just going to write a novel. I'll just attempt a novel because.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean,
can't do any worse than Twilight. I mean.
Oh.
Wait. We could get Stephanie Myers on here.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
I don't know her.
Yeah. What? You're Mormon and a writer and you don't
know
her?
I
know
who she is, but I don't know. Yeah.
Personally?
Yeah.
Doesn't she live in Utah?
Arizona.
Is she from Utah? Arizona.
Why are you looking at me like what? I just said the stupidest thing ever?
Well, you cursed Stephanie Meyer, a beloved cultural hall.
Oh, really? Well,
no.
Is that true?
No.
I think a lot of people are mad about the book she writes.
Really?
Yeah.
Mormon people? I have yet to really meet a Mormon person who has any sort of lividity towards her.
Really?
Yeah.
Good word use there.
Right?
Yeah, no kidding.
Really? You hate her? Do you not like her?
No, I don't hate her. Yeah. I think that people feel like her books make stereotypes out of men and women.
Yeah.
Women are useless and men have to come in and save the day.
And
men are dangerous. Women
point?
Are
look here.
Useless.
Look here. I've been trying
men.
To write a book.
My book
for the
is
better
called,
part of my
men.
Life now.
I don't understand why people say I hate men.
Shut up.
The Anxious White Virgin, author of the book I Hate Men. Coming back in the third block, I want to talk more about just this whole blogging thing. I think it's fascinating, and maybe we'll get into some technical stuff. Why not? People might be curious.
Sure.
See what you're willing to share as far as that goes. That's coming back in the third block of the Cultural Hall.
Running a small business today can be difficult enough. Imagine all the work you have to do to market it. Imagine the hours you put in to create promotional materials for it. Now, imagine a partner that can help you with all of that and more. Imagine Lennon Design. Lennon Design is your partner in business when you need a professional look at a price you can afford. Whether it's websites, advertising media, promotional materials, and more, Lennon Design can help you promote your business. When you need creative, affordable designs, let it be Lennon Design. Call 801-699-3022 or visit LennonDesign.com.
It is now the third block, and we're here with C. Jane Kendrick. Check her out online, cjanekendrick.com. It's in the third block time.
There you go.
This gelato is amazing.
Party, right?
Third block time. C. Jane, would you like some of this gelato?
Thank you. I'm going to pass.
We're at Terra Mia Ristorante in Orem. It's across from the Cinemark Theater, and then also from where I sit, I can see the University Mall sign. So this is a great place. I bet this place is slammed on a Friday night.
I have a friend who is from Italy,
mm-hmm.
who says this is the only place in Utah County where you can get legit Italian pizza.
Yeah? What about the gelato? This is great.
That was amazing.
Mm.
Yeah. Oh, I got that was coconut. Incredible.
Mm. I should write a blog about this.
Can I plug my concert series while we're right
go
here?
Go ahead.
You're
while
a musician as well?
Oh. Plug your concert series. I'm gonna eat
so
this.
So my blog sponsors the Rooftop Concert Series, which is downtown Provo, and it runs from May to October.
Okay. Who did you have this last season?
Huge crowds that we love. Who did we get?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. We started with Peter Reinholt, a throwback, right?
Yeah. Throwback? He's episode 6 of the Cultural Hall.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, he's so awesome.
Peter B.
So nice.
He was one quarter of the reason why we even did this podcast.
Really?
Because I wanted to have an excuse that I could be able to interview him and listen to him jam to the guitar.
Isn't he wonderful?
Unbelievable.
He has such a great spirit about him. It's a very Mormon thing for me to say. Yeah.
as she takes her hands around her body and goes, a spirit.
This is really hard for me because I'm a hand talker.
Don't say aura, though. That's sacrilege.
Is Hello? It to say aura?
Aura. We don't use
sacrilege?
The word aura.
Okay. Who else?
Okay. We also had, Desert Noises, mm-hmm. Moth in the Flame, Fictionist,
yeah.
Lower Lights.
Oh, Lower Lights, this future guest here on the Cultural Hall.
Oh, they're so great. We had this tribute band to Tom Petty, and we had the Neon Trees come.
Really?
Yeah.
The Neon Trees?
Well, we had three of the four.
Three of the four?
Yeah.
Elaine not come because
she had
her baby?
Elaine was there. She sang.
Who didn't do it?
The guitarist.
Brandon, the bassist?
No, Brandon
no,
was
the
there.
Other one.
He was our house bassist.
Other guy.
What's the other guy's name?
The other guy.
Matt.
Right.
I don't know. Chris?
I don't know either.
Oh, man.
That's cool.
Yeah, we had Tyler, Elaine, and Brandon there.
They probably
they
had
great.
To not call themselves the Neon Trees, though, right? Because of a contract thing?
Yeah. We couldn't do that.
People that you might recognize come to this Rooftop series.
Members of the... It was wonderful.
So how did you get involved in that?
Well, we just... my friends and I said if we're going to raise our children here, then we're gonna do our best to make it a cultural enhanced experience living mm-hmm. in Provo. And so
why? Because people would say that it's kind of a sheltered place to live, is that why?
Well, just that we don't have a lot of culture mm-hmm. outside of the culture that we have.
You can say Mormon.
Oh, that's right, we're the Cultural Hall.
Yeah, you can say Mormon culture.
So we decided to just do something about it, and that's what we decided to do, start this concert series. And mm-hmm. my blog hosts it, and we get sponsors, and we hold it downtown, and we get 4,000 people there at
and
some
next
concerts.
Year, Limp Bizkit.
Yeah. Korn. The band Korn will be playing the Rooftop series.
Oh, for extra diversity.
We'll have a...
We had some rap.
Really?
I'm sounding really
was it the
stupid right now.
Mormon rap?
No, was it?
No?
It was Chance. Listen, rap. Do you know that?
No,
Chance.
I don't.
Great.
I don't follow the rap.
Oh, the... Well, anyway.
We had some gentlemen with the reggae style music. I believe it's pronounced ska.
I have a feeling that I would love to have some ska next year.
The hip hop.
Yeah.
The hip hop.
What kids love. Playing the Rooftop series. Okay, let's get back to you. So you do this blogging thing. Now, when you got into it, did you think, okay, this is something that I just want to have an outlet for my writing? Or were you like, there's some people that can make some money off of this?
No, because when I started, nobody was making money, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, Deuce.
Yeah. Deuce.com. Heather
Armstrong.
Armstrong.
Yeah. She was there, but I didn't really know. No, I mean, really, I didn't know. It was a couple years into it when I started to say, hey, I should probably look into putting some ads on this.
Mm-hmm.
So I put some ads on, and I wasn't making any money. Like, it was almost, like, worthless.
Well, as far as the money-making part, but I bet as a personal thing, you were like, oh, this is great.
That's what I was just saying, that being able to reach out to people and connect with people and do it from my own home was really, really satisfying to me. And that's what you want to do, right? As a writer, you want to reach out and say, this is how I feel. Do you feel this way too? Or how do you feel? And
tell me I'm not alone.
Yeah, tell me I'm not alone.
Tell me I'm not
exactly.
the only man hater. Wait, what?
So tell me how it is that you went from, hey, this is a great creative writing outlet to, maybe some money. Here we go.
I just noticed that my numbers started moving up.
Like what? What are we talking? Can we talk about it?
I remember like when I got to 500 page views a day, and I was thinking that's
significant,
good, you know. And so I started thinking maybe I should look into this as a profession. And then my sister, who also was a blogger, was in a plane crash, and she her story hit national news, and my blog kind of got a lot of the attention, got a lot of attention, not the attention, but anyway. And that's when I started to think, if I'm going to blog with my heart every single day, I think it's okay to make it a profession. And so I started with an ad network with Warner Brothers.
Okay.
And then moved on to Blogger, and I'm still with Blogger right now.
And so that you just contact them and say, hey, look.
They contacted me.
Oh, they contact you. Okay.
Yeah.
Blogger, that's basically like a network of female bloggers.
Yeah. And male. There's male, too.
Oh, okay.
It's a misnomer.
I don't know. How
see,
that works,
this is
actually.
This is perfect, and I would honestly take up this entire time just talking to you because, you know, as most of the people in the podcast know, because I talk about it ad nauseam. Well, we do. Is this blog that I've started, and we kind of talked about it a little bit. And at first, it was done as an assignment for a class I was taking.
Mm-hmm.
But the moment I started it, I was like,
"It felt good.
This is what I want to do. This is what I want to do with my life." Yeah. And it's so hard because there are so many blogs out there. Everyone and their small Shih Tzu has a blog, and so it's you're almost like my blog idol.
Oh, good. Okay.
And I want you.
They were gonna do were gonna do a TV show called My Blog Idol, but it was it was a lot of people that just couldn't perform in front of people.
So I hear a lot from people who say this is what you're doing is what I would like to be able to do someday.
Mm-hmm. You said, of course you would, and you pat them condescendingly on the head.
Is that my ride? Oh, well.
Yeah, I'm sure you get tired of it.
I just feel like it's come with a huge amount of sacrifice that I don't know if people understood.
Like what?
Understand, and if they did. Well, you are basically putting your life out there. I mean, if you do it like I do, of course there are massive mega bloggers who are just writing about design concepts or, you know, children's books or whatever. But if you're going to be a writer, blogger, then you have to know that you're also putting your family out there for the internet to read about. And you have to be really careful about that. And I think sometimes that's really been a difficult spot for me to be in. How much do I tell about my story, and how much do I protect those family members?
What's your guideline?
Well, I just try to be really honest with myself. And
yeah, but I bet sometimes it's like your husband going, I'd really prefer you not sharing that.
Yeah, no,
right?
he's always been really good about it, but you know, my sister Stephanie is also a blogger, and she's an entirely different blogger than I am, you know, and so.
How so?
Well, she's a magazine style blogger, and so. Which means that she's taking the snippets of life that are beautiful or positive. I hate to use the word positive because I think you can write an angry blog and still have positive experiences from it, but just kind of snippets about her life that are safe, right? And not always. I mean, she's been good about writing some about her harder times too. But as a writer and a personal writer, a narrative writer, I want to write the narrative that made me who I am. And sometimes that means that I have to say, like I'm trying to think of an example that that would work. But I think you know what I'm saying. Like, if you're going to write about an ex-boyfriend that abused you or hurt you,
right.
it's hard because he still exists.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know what I mean? But you still want to be able to say, this was part of my story.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's hard. And so you, I think you really have to look at these things and say, is it worth it? Also, is it worth it to put your story out there and then go to Costco and have somebody stop you and say, you know, I know everything about you, and I know all of your children
right.
here in your basket, and
yep.
I know about your husband, and is it worth it? Sometimes it is. Sometimes it's a little, I don't know. You feel a little vulnerable.
Oh, it's no end of awkward when I go on dates now, and they guys say, have read my blog, and they're just, and they're like, so you hate men, I see. I'm glad that we're here tonight. Why are you here? Are you just wanting a free meal? And I'm just like, yes, yeah. that is
and
why I'm here.
A second helping of said free meal. Thank you.
And I'm so glad.
But it is nice, too, because they know what they're getting into, and I feel that way about people who want to be friends with me because they read my blog. I have to be, well, look, this is what you're getting into.
Well, and this is how I feel, too, about it, is that the reason why that kind of stuff is so popular, the reason why people are so apt to flock to that sort of material, is because they do identify with it.
Sure.
And they do kind of relate to it. But the thing is, and I've said this before, and it's kind of a cliche, it's like, I'm just saying what everybody else is thinking or has thought.
Sure.
At least once in their life. Yeah. But the problem is that we have this social construction where you just don't talk about certain things.
Right.
You know? But like you said, it is a struggle because you think to yourself, okay, I could tell you this story about this guy who did all these horrible things to me, and that would explain maybe why I have certain views about things.
Yeah.
Just saying.
I mean, not to dwell on the fact that I hate men, but I mean, it could be.
I hope that's what this podcast is called.
Yeah. It will be.
I hate men.com. But what was my point? Oh, but my point was, but you are opening yourself up then to have people go, oh, well, she's this, or mm-hmm. to label you that.
Yeah,
it's like, oh,
sure.
Well, she's crazy. She's
sure.
broken. It's like,
sure.
But so are you.
Sure.
Like, I guarantee
we all
yeah, but not
all
like
are.
You. Not like
yeah.
you.
But not like you.
But not like
but
me.
But for some reason, it's
like
not
you?
Okay to talk about it. Even though everybody, a lot of people can identify with it, it's still sort of like, well,
I know
we,
exactly
we don't
what you're
talk
saying.
About it.
Yeah.
We don't admit our flaws.
Yeah.
We don't admit our flaws.
Yeah.
We cover them up.
Yeah.
Do you ever feel like you do stuff so you can write about it? Like that,
yeah,
like
I know
that you
exactly
would,
choo-
that you would choose a narrative for your life. So it's like, I don't know that I'd normally do this, but I know this will be a killer post tomorrow.
I don't think that I've ever done that. However, I do sometimes, as I'm living life, think, how would I construct this into a post? This is a story I want to tell. How would I tell this story? So,
what's your favorite thing you've ever written?
I wrote an essay called. The hourglass theory about when life begins that I'm really proud of.
Tease me.
It's just basically about how in our church we don't have sound solid doctrine about when life begins.
Sure,
right?
there is no when to.
I think she's referring to like when the spirit actually enters the
right.
body.
So Brigham
oh,
Young
is that what
says
you're talking
it's
about?
When the woman feels
oh, okay.
the baby.
Okay,
in the
that's what you mean.
yeah.
That's
and,
what you meant.
You know,
but the song still applies.
Yes, no, but it's a great song, and I'll tell you why, because that's my idea, is that there is no beginning or end. It's just like, it's like an hourglass where you just flip over, the sands just start coming.
Mm-hmm.
So when a woman gets pregnant, those bits of spirit and intelligence start coming, but I don't think it comes all at once, like boom, here it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like this slow, and then I think about when we die. A lot of times that happens the same way, you know, when we live natural lives and we see that people sometimes slip, you know, mm-hmm. their mind starts to leave. We see dementia. It's just like kind of this natural process of slipping.
Interesting.
Hmm.
I like
from one
that.
Side to the other.
I like that.
And where would people find that?
Just on the internet.
Really? Now, what is this? The internet.
Is
it at cjanekendrick.com?
I'm
trying to lead
actually,
you into.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you. It's
plug your blog.
It's actually on Segula, which is a women's group, Mormon group of writers
all
that
these,
I used
okay,
to write
you need
for.
To make a list of all these things that I need to like look into.
Look into?
Like,
there's a lot of good writing on the
so
internet.
You brought up so many different forums for like writing that I didn't even know existed. And I'm sure that there are other people out there who are good writers and have something to say, but they don't know about these different platforms for their writing.
Yeah.
You know, so, a great place? Theculturalhall.com.
No, I've tried. Yeah. How many times, Richie? How many times have I sent you a blog post and said, post this?
Yeah, but that's not blogging for my site. That's me telling people about your blog on your site. That's not blogging for my site.
I think that's the number one question I get is, how do I grow my blog? How do I grow my blog? And I do think that getting yourself out there is in as many different realms as you can is a good way to do it.
So to resolve this so that everyone can hear it, and now you can hear it too, if you write something for theculturalhall.com, and then at the end write, and if you liked what you read, you can find other original content at Anxious White Virgin, I'm more than happy. But I'm not just a platform to go, hey, check this out, check her out on this one.
He's not going to be used.
Because the rest of us are, you know, benefiting so much from
I make just as much as everyone else. You've had some gelato, and I've had some gelato,
which was amazing.
It's fantastic.
By the way, except for now, you've gotten to the coconut bits, and I don't really know.
You don't
that
care
I,
for the coconut?
I don't really know that I care for the coconut much.
The coconut bits. That should be a title of a post.
The coconut. Life is like the coconut bits.
It'd have to be a little racy.
And therefore, I hate men.
Yeah.
And that's why.
So,
except for Richie.
So, now correct me if I'm wrong, because as I talk to people, I found out that now your husband doesn't work and you just live off the blog. Is that right?
So after... after I had...
That's pretty rad, by the way.
Yeah, well, after I had my second baby, we were making comparable salary, and we only really needed one salary of our comparable salaries. No. So I said, why don't we just do this? And then we can work from home and stay at home. And so we did that for a couple years. And then I found... Now, I don't think this has to be the case for every woman, but I found by the time I had my third baby, I just couldn't keep up with the demands of working from home, being the breadwinner, having three children, you know, having a calling in church. I couldn't do it, because I also felt like when you write from your heart, when you write from your heart, it does require space. And so I found my space shrinking. But it's fine, because we kind of got to a place where we decided that I would do as much as I could, and then he would do as much as he could with acting and with producing and writing and film. And so we've been really incredibly blessed.
So you've stepped away from just relying on you then, is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I really, since August, I only write about a couple times a month.
Really?
Yeah.
And do you miss it?
No. It's been wonderful. I write when may I say this on the Cultural Hall? I write when the Spirit tells me to write.
Really?
Like, you have time. It wakes me up in the morning and says, here's some time before your children are awake. Go down and write, and I'll write. And I do have a writing period every single day, 3 to 5 every afternoon, where I get to have that time. But
the kids get locked away in a room. You're not coming out till 5, pal.
That's the beauty of my husband's home. So he, that's my time, and his
is
in the morning.
Mommy time.
It's great. We've worked it out really, really well. But I just find that now I use that time to write emails or to connect with people, or I don't find this. I don't feel like it has to be blogging time. So it's been really wonderful. And I feel like I still make enough money to help the income and my family.
Good for you.
I feel really lucky. I really, really do.
Do you have to pay more tithing on blog money?
Yes, 20%.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Because of the web.
Because of the Democrats.
Because Al Gore owns the internet. What? This doesn't even make sense. This whole stream of content.
Those shoes are really cool.
You like those? They're Easter shoes.
No, they look like the Easter threw up on you.
Wow, you too. I don't know.
She's always harassing me about that. I'm sorry that we had to have that moment here on the podcast, but she doesn't get that it's...
I thought we just had a moment of beauty between all three of us. I shared my testimony.
It's only because we can only talk about so much before we run out of topics of conversation. You know.
No.
And then you
I don't agree with that.
You talk about like shoes and I don't know.
So you're not married. You don't. You don't know.
You really have no idea.
Thanks, as everyone. Far as that. Thanks.
You still look just as virginal as the day I met you.
I hate all of you. Except for you. I don't hate you.
Okay. Yeah,
so just me. Yeah. So where it's just three of us, I hate all of you, not you, would be
and
I
she
hate
didn't
you.
Hate the gelato either.
Yeah. No, so, yeah, I, it's really just I enjoyed you. It thoroughly.
I may try and get an extra bowl while we're here.
I want the pumpkin. Why didn't...
There isn't any pumpkin. That's why I didn't get it. And you're not allowed to mention your blog one more time in this whole time. All right? Not you, CJ. You. You okay? We almost had a
spit coke into this microphone.
It's relevant to the conversation.
What? How do you know the church is true?
Okay. Well, sorry. I have ice. Will that pick up in the?
Sorry. It's fine. I can hear it loud and clear.
Okay. I know the church is true. Well, I think we all had our moments where we were like, well, not all of us. A lot of us had those moments where we were like, I'm going to be a big girl and figure this out for myself.
I never had a moment where I thought I was going to be a big girl and figure it out for
myself.
Maybe
a big
boy. Well, yeah. Don't
or
assume
big boy
you're
or a big girl. Okay.
Big person.
And so I decided to read the Book of Mormon for the first time, and I was 18 years old. And after I got done reading the Book of Mormon by myself for the first time, I was like, oh, this feels really good. This feels really good. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll take it. And then I felt like I should probably do something about it. And I prayed and felt like I should go on a mission. So I went on a mission. And you get out there and you have that moment where you're like, okay, did I really get the straight messages? Am I kidding myself, or is this really true? Mm-hmm. Am I really doing this?
Did I make that up in my mind?
Yeah, exactly. And I think it just felt like, it felt good enough that I would just kept going and kept going and kept going. And then I fell in love with Joseph Smith. I really love him.
Where did you serve your mission?
In Montreal.
Okay, that's right.
And after that, I was just sold.
Made you fall in love with Joseph Smith?
I think because he was imperfect. And I think he was honest about being imperfect. And I think he was really complicated. And I think that he was upfront about being imperfect. And I really like that about him. I'm very uncomfortable with this idea that our prophet is a perfect human being, which I think a lot of people really do honestly believe.
Yeah.
And I think that that's the beauty of Joseph Smith, was that he said, I failed prey to the follies of men.
Yeah, messed up here big time.
But again, going back to what you do, I mean, that's what makes your blog successful. I mean, it's the same concept. It's this idea that people ideally want to believe that there are perfect people out there because they want to be perfect themselves. And so I think it's really easy to idealize people. And
sure.
And when we find out that they aren't perfect, it can shake us, particularly like prophets and whatnot. But like what you were saying, it's actually more endearing to me. It makes it more realistic. It makes it more plausible to me that a man could be a prophet, but also very flawed.
Yeah.
You know, and people, because people, I don't know, like, I always kind of go, when even for modern day prophets, when people are like, oh, and I bet President Monson has never said a swear word in his life, and he's probably been a prophet since the day he was born, and I'm not saying that prophets maybe aren't a step or two above the average individual as far as, you know,
some spiritual understanding or enlightenment.
Right.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But they're still people.
Yeah.
They're still humans.
Yeah.
You know, they have the same biology as the rest of us. And so I'm with you. Like, I think that's endearing.
Yeah.
You know?
That's why there will never be a woman prophet, because women are perfect.
I'm going to throw my cup at your head.
Because women are perfect.
Oh. See, I am not a man-hater anymore.
Take the compliment. You guys thought I was going to be all sorts
of... I did. I was fully anticipating ambush there.
CJ, what's your calling in your ward right now?
I am the MyMate advisor.
That's the 14s?
14.
Yeah. How do you like that?
It's great.
Yeah?
I feel like I'm in the Young Women for Life. I've been there forever, and I feel like I'm never going to get out.
You excited for the new curriculum?
I am so excited for the new curriculum, and I'm so excited that women can go on missions at 19. I think that's a total, complete game changer. Huge. I think it's huge.
If you could pick your own calling, what would you pick?
I would be in the nursery.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Nursery? But that's where they keep the babies, you know,
and
right?
And the food.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And the toys.
And the toys. I think the nursery would be a blast.
Yeah, it's getting reimbursed for having to put up with kids at church, too. Because I know for a lot of people, it's like an hour without that kid.
Yeah, that's true. I think it would be really fun. I really enjoy working with the youth. I think it's the most uncomfortable place for me, mm-hmm. and so that's why it's good for me.
Hmm. What's your favorite part of your faith?
Of my faith?
Mm-hmm.
The Book of Mormon.
That's fine.
Answer?
Why?
I it's like my lifeline. I wake up every morning and I, you know, read it and I think, okay, I can do this. I can do humanity. I can do this. You know?
Cool. Before we let you go, let's have you climb up on the Rammy Umptum. Tell people where they can find you. where they can get in touch with you, all the
okay.
social things.
I'm at cjanekendrick.com.
That's the letter C, like Charlie.
Yeah, C Jane. Yeah, and I'm at Twitter at cjanekendrick. I'm on Facebook for my dumb friends. No, I'm just kidding. Now I feel really bad about saying that.
I'm
going to
find you on Facebook.
Okay.
I'm dumb.
I'm on Facebook. I'm cjanekendrick. And you can email me at cjanekendrick@gmail.com.
Okay. Do you have a name for your book for people should look out for?
No, I don't. It really is a mess. It's a mess.
When do you have to have it in by?
Well, it was due long ago.
Really?
Yeah,
that's fine. As long as it's a hot mess, then it'll be fantastic.
Good thing they're working with
this book contract out in the...
it's somewhere. I asked them if I could have 7 years.
Really?
We'll
really?
See.
Is that standard?
No. I mean, no, but... No.
But she's CJ Kendrick.
Do you know who I am?
Yeah. I just want to get into this real quick before I let you go.
Okay.
Your sis blogs.
Yeah.
Well, you talked about it.
Yeah.
Where would people find her?
Oh, NiniDialogues.com.
Which is NIENIE.
Yeah.
Which I always get confused.
Yeah.
That's why I had you say it and not me.
Nine-nine.
Yeah, she's Stephanie Nielsen.
I'm a Nielsen too.
Oh,
wait.
You guys have
now
so much in common.
That.
Oh, jeez.
No. Oh, great.
How is that though? Is that at all competitive? Because you guys are both doing the same thing?
Well, I really don't feel like we do the same thing.
But, I mean.
But blogging, inside blogging,
Or do you ever be like, I've got my monthly totals for the month of September. I was your September.
Yeah, no, like she blows me out of the water. Like that's something that I know I'll never, that's not even something that I feel like I will ever match. Mm-hmm. So it's not even worth trying. I think that, I think that blogging is it's tricky because I think the stories that I want to tell are her stories too. And she wants to tell them in her way and I want to tell them in my way. And then you have readers of both blogs that say, hey, what about this? What she said it went like this and you said it went like this, mm-hmm. you know? And
wait, Matthew, Mark said that Jesus said it this way.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Oh, look at that.
There's a lot of narratives in there. And so I would be lying if I didn't say that blogging makes family politics complicated.
Mm-hmm.
I think it does. And that's why, again, I think you have to be really, really clear about why you want to blog and why you want to put yourself out there. I mean, there is a page in Get Off My Internet that's dedicated to me and my sister that's like 200 pages of people talking about how they dislike us or they don't like what we're saying or they, you know, haters, I guess you call them.
That's how you know you've arrived.
Yeah. So, yeah, is it worth it? Is that worth it? You have to ask yourself.
Hmm.
You know?
Haters will hate.
They will. I don't know how you came up with that, but it is true.
So, how did you like this? Did you enjoy yourself?
It was fun. It was fun. I know that I'll go home and I'll say, I can't believe I said that.
Perfect.
Yes. Because
we're not going to edit it out.
No.
Not one bit. We hope that this podcast has nourished and strengthened your body.
And when the time comes, you can return home safely.
And if you weren't healthy enough to listen this week, that you'll be healthy enough to listen to the podcast next week. In the meantime, we'll be saving a seat for you.
On the back row.
Of the cultural hall. Save me a seat. It's sure to be neat on the back row.